This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك يا أرحم الراحمين. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the love of His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In his footsteps, this halakha series that we've been doing is all about knowing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more, increasing our love and muhabba for the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And the only way to do that, the only way to truly appreciate who he is to study his life, to read it regularly, to stay connected to it. No matter how many times we've heard the different stories of his life and his seerah, they never change, but we change. And as our circumstances changes in life, then we connect differently to those different moments in his life. And so we typically, when we read it, we typically read from a portion of his life as we go chronologically, as this message was coming to him and as he was spreading this deen to people. And then we also read from his character as well. Because one thing is to read his biography, but the other thing is to read what is called shama'il, or how he carried himself, how he was when he carried himself. And so I want to start this week with a narration in which it's a beautiful narration because it speaks about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to carry himself. It's beautiful. At-Tabari narrates, and Hakim, they narrate, that Zayd bin Sana'a, who An-Nawawi says, was the noblest of learned Jews who embraced Islam. So this man by the name of Zayd, he's Jewish at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, apart from two, there were no signs of prophethood, except that I could recognize them in the face of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when I looked at him. And this is what they say about him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They say that when you looked at his face, one sahabi says, I looked at his face and I knew right away, laysa wajha kadhab. This was not a face of a man that could lie. So he says, I looked and recognized every sign in him. But there were two signs. There were two signs that I had yet to test out. And they were that his forbearance overcomes his anger, and that extreme ignorance only increases him in forbearance. So what this means is that he knew from the Torah and the descriptions from the people of the book, he knew that the signs, two signs, or that whenever he was angry, whenever he was really angry, then his forbearance would kick in, it would come over that anger, and it would quell that anger. This is a Muhammadan trait, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the second sign was that if you increase him in ignorance, he increases you in forbearance. He increases you in forbearance. This is important because the Arabs, the Bedouin Arabs, they used to say, if you get ignorant with us, we just put more ignorant on top of that. That's how they were. They were like, no, وَنَجْعَلْ فَوْقَ الْجَاهِلِيَّ جَاهِلًا. That's what they used to say, وَنَجْعَلْ فَوْقَ الْجَاهِلِيَّ جَاهِلًا. You want to act silly? Well, we'll put silly on top of silly. But the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he came, no, you have to become the custodians of this message around the world. And so the way to respond to ignorance is not with more ignorance, but with forbearance. And so he says, I wanted to test these two traits. And listen to what he says. So he said, I behaved pleasantly with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in hope of interacting with him and coming to know his forbearance and anger. And so I bought some dates from him that would be delivered to me at a later date. So I gave him the money and the dates would be given to me later. I paid the price for them. 2 or 3 days before delivery date, I went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I pulled him by his shirt and I gave him a stern look in the face. And I said, oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will you not give me my right? By Allah, you children of Abdul Muttalib, you guys always procrastinate. Subhanallah. Umar ibn Khattab was standing right there. Man. I mean, he was testing it, but he don't know how close he got. He says, Umar said, oh, enemy of Allah, how dare you speak to the messenger like that while I'm this close to you? By Allah, if I didn't fear that it would break our treaty, that I would have hit you right now. The whole time, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi al-habib, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was looking at Umar with tranquility and deliberation. He wasn't looking at the Jew. I don't care how they act up. When I used to go somewhere and other kids running around, now y'all moms ain't like mine, huh? She was like, I don't care how they act, how you act. How do we carry ourselves? He doesn't care about him. He's looking at Umar radiallahu anh in this moment. So he looks at him, subhanAllah, and he's smiling. Then he said, listen to these deep words. He said, he and I, O Umar, are in more need of something else from you. Meaning what you're giving us right now, this negative energy, is not what we need in this moment. And I think this is beautiful because instead of being reactionary, we need to be people that give them what they need in the moment that they're in. So in this moment, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, we don't need this from you. You're stirring up agitation. You're making things get more rowdy. He's like, this isn't what I need from you, and this isn't what he needs from you. He goes, rather, the Rasul ﷺ, he said, O Umar, what you should do, radiallahu anh, tell me to pay him what is owed, and tell him to seek what is owed in a well-mannered way. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Go with him. Now he tells Umar, radiallahu anh, go with him. Go with him. And seek what is, go with him and give him what he is owed. And then he goes and add 20 saw on top of it. Add 20 saw, put 20 more of what was owed, because you scared him. Because you scared him. Umar did as he was told. I then said to Umar, this is Zayd, the person who's Jewish at the time. He says, I said to Umar, nah, bro, you don't understand. I have come to recognize all but two signs in the prophethood, in the face of the prophet. I've seen every sign that he is who he is. When I looked at him, I knew who he was. There were only two signs that I didn't test out yet, and they were that his forbearance overcomes his anger. And I want you to look inside yourself, because the reason that we connect to the sunnah is not for stories. It's not for to bask in the stories. It's for it to transform us. And in these days of sabr, these days of patience, these days of hunger, ask yourself, am I one that my forbearance overcomes my anger or not? This means I'm getting closer to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it could be something that makes it easier for you to overcome that anger. When you are swallowing that anger in that moment, and it's like, what am I getting out of this? What you're getting is closeness to Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What you're getting by overcoming that anger in that moment is closeness to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, there were two signs. One of them was that his forbearance overcomes his anger. And number two is that extreme ignorance only increases him in forbearance. I tested him, but I call you to bear witness, O Umar. I am pleased with Allah as my Lord. I am pleased with Islam as my religion. And I am pleased with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as my Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So where did we leave off at? We left off at the Fatratul Wahi, which was the pause in revelation. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been going to Ghari Hira for a year and a half now, seeking out hidayah from Allah, seeking out guidance from Allah. And in that one dark night, in that one night on the 17th of Ramadan, according to Ibn Ishaq, revelation comes for the first time. Gabriel hugs him three times. Iqra. He says, I can't read. And finally the first revelation begins. In that moment, he flees straight to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala an. He says, hold me. She holds him. And then finally, after he calms himself, she gives him security. She says, no, you are a special man because of the service you do to people. Not because of the ibadah you do, but because of the service to the people you did. We talked about this last night. It was the service of people. It was the service of your family. That let her know that Allah will never forsake you. So then what happens next? She takes him to Waraqah. Just recapping. She takes him to Waraqa. Waraqa listens closely. He's 90 years old. He's gone blind already. But he's been waiting for this moment for everything, this final prophet to come. And in that moment, he says, I wish I was young. And from that, we said, subhanAllah, look at the opportunities you have around you and take advantage of your youth before you get old. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, there's five things to take advantage before five. And one of them is shababak qabla harabak. Take advantage of being young before you're old. And then in that moment, Waraqa slips up and he says, man, I wish I could be around the day that the people kick you out. And the Prophet ﷺ gets scared because he's been loved by people for so long. The Prophet ﷺ has never had to be someone to go against what people expect. He stayed away from idolatry, no doubt, but everyone loved him. And this is really important because a lot of times for us, we're having to do things that society doesn't like. We have to speak on things society doesn't like. We have to pray in the airport, Allahu Akbar. You know what I mean? Whatever. And that means you're going against the grain, you're going against. But I want you to understand that you are like him. In the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Tuba lil ghuraba. Tuba lil ghuraba. Glad tidings to the strangers. Glad tidings to the strangers. Glad tidings to the strangers. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he comes to Waraqa. Waraqa tells him who he is. And then he goes back home. And now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is waiting for that connection again. That feeling again. You know, once you get that feeling of closeness to Allah, then we always keep looking for it again. We search for it. So he wanted that connection. He wanted to see Jibreel again. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen. And so the narration says that there was a pause in revelation. What this means is for the next 10 to 40 days, Jibreel didn't come. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he began to get very anxious. Like, when will he come back? When will he come back? When will he come back? And he was confused because he got confirmation from Waraqa about who he was. But I want you to understand, it was in this moment that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was coming to terms with who he was. This was his time of acceptance. This was his time of understanding what his role and responsibility was. So what did he do? He went back to his place. He went back to his place of solitude. He returns to the cave of Ghari Hira, this place 3 miles away from the Kaaba. And he's there going back and forth there because this is where Gabriel came to me last time. Maybe he'll come back again. And the narration says, "Idh sami'a sawtan." He heard a voice. And the Prophet ﷺ, he says, "Farafa'tu ra'si." I lifted up my head. And he said, I looked at the horizon in the sky. And he said, everywhere I looked, left and right, all I could see was Gabriel, Jibreel, filling the horizons in his true form. He says, every other time he came to me in a form that I could handle. He didn't come to me in his true form because I couldn't handle that interaction. So he goes, he came to me in my true form. And in that moment, he says to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to some narrations, he says, Ana Jibreel wa anta Rasulullah. Formal introduction. Now you know. It's not through Waraqa. It's not through your wife telling you. It's not through some monk back in Syria that we met 20 years ago. La. Now Gabriel goes, Ana Jibreel wa anta Rasulullah. He did what any person would do again. He enjoyed the moment, but he was scared. So he runs again back to Khadijah. And he says, cover me, cover me. And now, instead of giving him a break, the revelation comes right again, right in the arms of Khadijah radiallahu an. Ya ayyuhal mudathir. O you who's covered up. Qum fa'andhir. From this word, qum fa'andhir. Sayyid Qutb. He writes, from this moment, the world changed for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See, you don't understand. Iqra was the first time he became a prophet, a Nabi. That a Nabi is one who's given information from God. But this is the moment he became a Rasul. And Rasul means somebody sent. That means he has a job to do. And the first words are Qum. Stand up. Stand up. You can't stay wrapped up like that. Stand up. Qum. The scholars, they say, from the moment he heard the word Qum, for the next 23 years, he never took a seat. He never took a seat. He just kept calling, kept calling, kept standing, kept standing, kept standing. From this moment, Qum fa'anzir. Stand and warn the people. You have a job to do. Warn the people. Wa'anzir. وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ and glorify your Lord. Say Allahu Akbar. وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَحِّرْ purify your garment, purify your clothes. It was at this moment also, subhanAllah, that the first injunctions are given. It was at this moment that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given prayer and wudu. So let's look at this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's given in iqra, the knowledge of the oneness of God. And then in ayyuhal muddathir, he's given this message that you're a prophet of God. And the next days, because after ayyuhal muddathir, it starts coming. The words in the hadith are hami al wahi. The wahi heated up. The wahi heated up. And subhanAllah, the word heated up comes because when the Prophet dies, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ayman, she says, we used to get it fresh. You know, I like going to my mother-in-law's house, y'all, because she makes those paratas. But they only really tight when they're hot, yo. When you could barely touch them. I'm sorry, we're about to break fast, right? We all like, I was wondering, like, what's going on? Nah, subhanAllah. She says, we used to get revelation fresh. So from this moment, revelation started coming fast. Iqra comes. No God is one. Stand for Allah. Ayyuhal Muddathir comes. You're a prophet, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You have a job to do. It's time to get ready. You have to be clean. You have to glorify Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then the next revelation, Ya Ayyuhal Muzammil, Qum Al-Layla Illa Qalila. See, listen. Where will your strength come to stand up to the difficulties that this dunya is going to throw at you, especially when you're trying to spread this message of Islam to people? Whenever you're trying to practice it, and whenever you're trying to get other people to recognize La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, where will you get strength from? قُمْ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا قِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ. Praying at nighttime. Praying at nighttime. Dhikr at nighttime. Solitude at nighttime. I read a narration, subhanAllah, where the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to Abu Dhar, he goes, Abu Dhar, do you prep for a journey when you have to go on one? Abu Dhar goes, yes, of course. He goes, what about for the journey of Akhirah? Are you ready for that? Are you ready for the journey of the Akhirah? And then he tells him a few things to do. He says, fast in the hot days. It will be coolness for you on the day of judgment. Stand in the darkness of night in prayer. It will be light for you in your grave. Qiyam al-layl is a special ibadah. And a lot of what we feel in Ramadan, it's all through the barakah of Qiyam al-layl, standing at nighttime in prayer. But it's not just about the qiyams with everyone. It's about qiyam by yourself. It's about your moments of solitude, just you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Surah Muzammil is revealed. And Surah Muzammil is saying, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ, stand at night. The only way you'll stand at day is if you stand at night. The only way you'll stand at day is if you stand at night. سَإِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. Allah's like, something heavy is about to come on you. And if something heavy is about to come on your shoulders, hope you did leg day. I hope you did leg day. And leg day for us, we all feeling leg day, Tarawih. stand at nighttime. The Prophet ﷺ used to stand in prayer until his feet would swell. This hits me because yesterday one of the Shabab, man, he came up to me. And he said, Shaykh, you know, in hurdles, this was last night. He said, Shaykh, in hurdles, you talked about Qiyam al-Layl. And he said, he's like, I haven't missed a Qiyam al-Layl since that. He's like, and the change I feel in my heart is unprecedented. Start with Qiyam al-Layl. You know why Qiyam al-Layl is so special? Because it's so intimate. It's so intimate. It's just you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qiyam al-Layl da'ba salihin. Qiyam al-Layl, standing at nighttime in prayer, is the way of the awliya. The only people of sincerity can get up in the middle of the night and pray. So even in these nights, as we all stand, make sure you pull away from the group and have moments by yourself where it's just you and Allah, because that's where your strength truly comes. It was in these moments that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taught wudu and salah. How was he taught? So the narration is beautiful. The narration says, Osama bin Zayd, he says that an Jibril ata an Nabi, Gabriel came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the beginning, right at this first few days of revelation, and he taught him wudu. The narration says that Gabriel says, come Muhammad, let me teach you. And he digs his wing down into the ground and water starts to come from the ground. And Gabriel begins to make wudu. He begins to make wudu. And as Gabriel makes wudu, the Prophet ﷺ is watching his every movement and making wudu with him. The scholars say that this was a tatbiq amali. It was a real example. You know, a lot of us, we haven't really learned our deen from a teacher. We heard about wudu. Ah, yeah, I know wudu. Your mom told you one day, yo, go make wudu. You were like, all right. But have you actually, like, taken the time? Like, I can remember clear as day. Sorry to get nostalgic. I remember clear as day the day I took shahada. It was in this house masjid in Buffalo, New York. And in the basement, they had this makeshift wudu thing. And the guy, he brought me, he said, sit down next to me. And he began to wash his hands one at a time. And what I want to stop, because a lot of us treat wudu like it's just, I got to get to salah. La, wudu is one of the most important ibadahs we have. Wudu is that external purification, which, by the way, from a hygienic perspective, changed the world. From a hygienic perspective, we were making wudu 5 times a day before people were taking baths in a week. But not to mention, it's spiritual though. And I'm telling you, slow down in your wudu. Don't treat it like I'm going through something. There's a narration I want to read to you. Listen to this. إِذَا تَوَضَّعَ عَبْدَ الْمُسْلِمِ. See, hold up. A lot of you are like, yo, you about to talk about wudu, man. I did wudu since I was in like Five Pillars. Hold on, no. No, you have to understand. The things that will give you closeness to Allah are the same things you've always been doing, but re-bringing meaning to them. There's no different formula I can give you. It's all there, but we got to bring back meaning to it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا تَوَضَّعَ عَبْدَ الْمُسْلِمِ. When a Muslim makes wudu, فَغَسَلَ وَجْهَ, and you wash your face, all of the sins that you looked at with your eyes are gone. And they drip away with each drop that is dripping from your face. It's just dripping off. And then when you wash your hands, every sin that you have reached your hand towards, or now as we scroll, subhanAllah, every sin is dripping off with the drops. You have to picture that to bring that reality to your wudu. And then it says, when you wash your arms, the same thing. When you wash your feet, every sin that you walk to. This is the virtue of wudu. So the Prophet ﷺ, he watches Gabriel make wudu and he follows him. So what I was saying first is have a teacher. Make sure you've learned from someone the proper way. All right, go on YouTube, do what you gotta do. But you know what I'm trying to say. Make sure you've learned it. And I remember that day clear as if it was yesterday when he walked me through the wudu. And I felt that I've been purified in a way that I had never been purified in my life. Purified in a way that I had never been purified in my life. Because I had read in the scriptures that Jesus used to wash up before prayer. But we didn't know how. I was like, oh, he just took a shower. Nah. And so the wudu, Gabriel teaches wudu to the prophet, and the prophet emulates him. And then the prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Gabriel gets up and he says, follow me in prayer. And now the first prayer of our ummah is prayed. Do you know what it's like to find salah after searching for Allah for years? Do you know what it's like to have the formula that the prophet has taught you after you've been just making it up on the way, along the way? The prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam follows Gabriel. He teaches him 2 rak'ah of prayer. Immediately, the Prophet ﷺ rushes home. What do you think he did when he got home? Khadija, I gotta teach you something. Thumman sarafa Jibril, Jibreel left. Faja'a Rasulullah Khadija, the Prophet goes to Khadija. Fatawadda'a laha. He's like, watch me. And he does wudu for her. And she follows him. Kama arahu Jibril, just as Gabriel had told him. So she made wudu the way he did wudu. And then he prayed. He prayed. And as he prayed, she prayed with him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith, he says, Ala adullukum, shall I not tell you of something that will wipe away all of your sins and elevate your status? Y'all like, nah. Sahaba are like, yeah, please. So let me try that again. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, shall I not tell you something that will wipe away all of your sins and elevate your status? They said, bala ya Rasulullah. Please. Please let us know, ya Rasulullah. He said, number one, isbaghu al-wudu ala makarih. Doing a complete wudu, even though you don't feel like it. Even though you don't feel like it. Complete wudu. Get those feet in the sink and everything like in between the toes. وَكَثْرَةُ الْخَطَاءِ إِلَى الْمَسَاجِدِ The Prophet ﷺ said, number two, a lot of steps to the masjid. When you really get woke, you start parking far away from the masjid door. When you come in the masjid and you see that one car way off, they're not worried about the car getting scratched, y'all. They want more steps to the masjid. They want more steps. They want more steps. They want more steps. I used to roll with a convert crew in the early days. We used to just take small steps. It doesn't say big steps. It says more steps. Just take a few like smaller steps. Make that cadence shorter. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, number three, wa intidar as-salah ba'da as-salah. To wait for one salah after the other salah just ended. You just prayed Maghrib. Low key, you don't got nothing else to do. You just say, I'm gonna wait for Isha. Intidar as-salah ba'da as-salah. Where was I about to go anyway? Let me just sit in the masjid and wait for salah. So now at this moment, brothers and sisters, the conversions begin. Now he has a mission. He has a mission. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has to call everyone. But how does it begin? We learn from this moment that all change you want to bring in the world starts with you first and then your family. You can't be concerned about changing the world if inside your house everything is in shambles. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got this message, the first thing he did was he started to give da'wah to Khadija first. And she accepted right away. She was believing in him as he believed in himself. But who's in his house? Brothers and sisters, as we know, this was not a... There were 10 people living in this household. This was a household of responsibility and dependence. The Prophet ﷺ had 4 daughters, one just born. Ali radiallahu an, was brought in. How old is Ali? Ali is 10 years old. What happens? One day, the Prophet ﷺ and Khadija are praying salah. Within the first week of getting the salah, they're praying together too, which is something, subhanAllah. One day, Muaz. One day, Habibi. He's praying with wifey. Allahu Akbar. And then Ali radiallahu anh comes. He's only 10 years old. Listen to this beautiful narration. It's absolutely beautiful. It's beautiful. The narration says, كان رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وخديجة يسليان سرًا. They used to pray quietly together. They used to pray quietly together. At this point, people don't know about Islam because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is ordered to keep the message quiet right now. Don't tell everyone. Don't spread it. Why? Because we're not ready for that. For the first 3 years of the message, it's quiet. Meaning, people are accepting Islam, but this guy might accept, and he might not even know that this brother's Muslim. Because they're all keeping it low key, because here's the deal. A lot of us, when we convert or we make that change, it's as if we want the whole world to know, but sometimes you need to grow quietly first. So the first 3 years, everything from this point on, was called da'wah to sirri, secret da'wah, where we only called people one-to-one and it wasn't done public yet. So listen to this. Khadija and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, husband and wife praying together. Thumma inna Ali, Ali's 10 years old. He walks in and he sees them praying and bowing. When the prayer was done, he said, Ma hadha ya Muhammad? Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to Ali is like a father, you could say. He adopted him from a young age. So he says, what is this? Now this is beautiful because someone sees you praying and they're going to ask you, like, what were you doing? What were you doing? And now the Prophet ﷺ is being asked for the first time. Someone saw him praying, caught him praying almost. And he goes, what are you doing? The Prophet ﷺ, he goes, Deen Allah alladhi istafa. Istafa li nafsihi. This is the religion of Allah that Allah has chosen. Wa ba'atha bihi rusul. This is the religion that He has sent all the anbiya with. And He calls this young boy. He says, Wa ad'uka ila Allah. And I'm calling you to believe in Allah. I'm calling you to give up worship of these idols. Faqala Ali, 10 years old, but he's brilliant. Hadha amr lam asma' bihi qabla al-yawm. He goes, I never heard of this before. I never heard of this before. فَلَسْتُ بِقَاضٍ أَمْرًا حَتَّى I can't make a decision until I go talk to Abu Talib, his father. وَكَرِهَ I want you to get close to this. وَكَرِهَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُفْشِيَ عَلَيْهِ سِرَّ قَابَلَ أَنْ يَسْتَعْلِنَ أَمْرُهُ The Prophet ﷺ did not want this affair to become public before he was ready for that. So he said to Ali, he said, listen, if you don't want to accept, then keep it quiet. If you want to accept, then accept. But don't tell anyone yet. The reason I'm saying this is I want us to understand the importance of growing in quiet. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Ista'inu ala hajatikum bil hawa'ijukum bil kitman." That seek help through Allah's support through silence. Keep things quiet. A lot of us, the moment you do something, right away you telling everybody, did you know what I did? La, keep it low key, grow quietly. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us that this is the way the iman will grow. So what happens? Ali radiallahu anhu, فَمَكَثَ عَلِي تِلْكَ اللَّيْلَ So he didn't tell his dad. فَمَكَثَ عَلِي تِلْكَ اللَّيْلَ He stays that night thinking. ثم إن الله تبارك وتعالى أوقع في قلبي علي إسلام. He woke up in the next morning and he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, he didn't accept. He said, can you present what you presented yesterday to me again? Can you present that to me? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, I present to you Islam. I'm asking you to give up idolatry, to worship Allah, to believe in me as the final prophet. And in that moment, فَفَعَلَ عَلِي أَسْلَمَ From that moment, Ali radiallahu anhu, he accepts Islam and he's with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's supporting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It said that in the early days that Ali radiallahu anhu and the Prophet, they used to sneak off into the valleys of Mecca. They used to sneak off into the valleys of Mecca to worship quietly so no one could see them. So it's narrated that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with Ali, he's only 10 years old, and they're going off into the valleys to worship. And they're praying salah when Abu Talib happens to come through that area. The narration says that Abu Talib, this is the first time he's hearing about this. He's seeing this for the first time. What does Abu Talib do? He says, Muhammad, what is this? Ali, what is this? Ali looks at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet speaks, فَقَالَ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ يَا بِنَ أَخِي نَفْيُ مَا هَذَا الَّذِي تَدِينُ بِهِ. What's this religion you're practicing? قَالَ أَيَّامٌ. When asked, here's the deal. Islam was being kept secret at this time. But when anyone asked him, he spoke clearly about it. He spoke clearly about it. He told them what it was. But he wasn't publicly giving it to everyone so that we could grow stronger. I can't tell you the number of times I've spoken to people who just reverted, and I said, keep it low key so you could grow stronger. So you could grow stronger. I made the mistake. First week, become Muslim. I go on the block, I'm Muslim now. I don't know nothing, y'all. Nothing. I'm Muslim. And one dude, he comes up to me, he goes, okay. So it's like the ignorant questioning the ignorant. So he says, okay, you Muslim now? I said, yeah, I'm Muslim. He says, y'all wash up before prayer. I'm like, I know that much. I'm like, yeah, yeah. The guy just taught me that the other day. He goes, do you use soap or not? Now, I don't know. But I'm thinking Muslims are clean. So I go, yeah, we use soap. And he's like, nope, wrong. wrong. And I'm like, man, I wish I just kept it to myself so I could grow by myself first and be strong on my deen first before trying to put everything out there. So in this moment, Abu Talib, he asks the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is this deen? And in that moment, the Prophet speaks clear. Hada deenullah. He says, uncle, this is the religion of Allah. This is the religion of the Malaika. This is the religion of all the prophets. This is the religion of your forefather, Abraham. Allah has sent me with a message. See, he's speaking clear. And then he says, wa anta ya am, you, oh my uncle, ahakku man badaltu lahu nasiha. You're the one that I care about the most. Wa da'autu ila al-huda. You're the one I want to call to the truth. وَحَقَّ And you should be the one to answer me first. You know me. In that moment, Abu Talib, he says, Ibn Akhi, لَسْتَ إِنِّي لَسْتَطِيعُ I cannot split from my people's way of life. But you know what? I'll make sure no one touches you. In that moment, Ali is standing there because his uncle and his father are talking. And he's just been caught worshiping with his uncle. So Ali's 10 years old, what do I do in this moment? In that moment, subhanAllah, Abu Talib asked Ali, and what are you doing? What are you doing? Aybunay, ma hadha alladhi anta alayh? What are you on? He says, Ya Abati, amantu bi Rasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Dad, I believe in the Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَصَدَّقْتُ بِمَا جَاءَ بِي I believe وَصَلَّيْتُ مَعَ And I pray with him too. Now that you know, I'm telling you everything. فَزَعَمَ And then it's narrated that his father said, okay, Muhammad would never ever call you to something except that it is good. Hold on to it. Be close to him. Be close to him. These are the early days. From this moment, the next thing that happens is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he goes to his closest friend. He did not go to people randomly. The Prophet ﷺ chose people specifically because of their impact in the society. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and we'll end with him. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq has known the Prophet ﷺ since before Nubuwa. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is well known amongst the Quraysh. He knows the lineages of everyone. He's well engrossed in the people, respected, honored, well traveled. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes to him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us, ما دعوت أحداً. I never gave da'wah to anyone. I never called anyone to this message, except that they hesitated for a second. They thought about it for a second. They paused and said, let me get back to you. That he said, إِلَّا أَبَا بَكَرْ, except Abu Bakr. The moment I called him, he said, I knew there was something special about you from day one. I believe in you. He turns around immediately. And then within one week, he brings more than 10 people through the door, one by one. Ya Rasulullah, he's ready to take his shahada. 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 But as I said, this wasn't public knowledge. Everyone didn't know about it. And for this reason, we'll end with this. For this reason, there were people that said, I was the fourth one to accept Islam. And there were 10 people before him like, bro, we've been Muslim. But no one knew because everyone was keeping it low key. Everyone was hiding their Islam. It was only here and there that people found out about other people's Islam. So from this moment, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his risalah has begun. Salah, wudu. Don't sleep on salah and wudu. Salah is the beginning of this deen. How much time? What time? Salah is the beginning. Salah is everything, ya shabab. Ya shabab, salah is everything. 5 minutes? Salah is everything, ya shabab. Everything is our salah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his first moments, the first thing he's given is wudu and salah and iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. But the last thing he says, the last speech he ever gives, as-salah, as-salah. It's as if everything in between doesn't matter. If you got it from the beginning and you got salah at the end, wa'tasimu bihablillah. It is the rope that we hold. It is your connection to Allah. The barakah that we feel in this month is not just from the fasting, but it's because of the connection we have with the salah. So ask Allah to give you a love for the salah. Ask Allah to give you a love for the Rasul. Ask Allah to give you a love for moments of solitude with Him. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people that hold on to the sunnah, hold on to the sunnah, and emulate His ways in every way. Let's make dua, inshallah ta'ala. Allahumma laka alhamdu kullu, wa laka shukru kullu, wa ilayka yarju al-amru kullu alaniyata wa sirru. Allahumma laka alhamdu hatta tarda, wa laka alhamdu idha radid, wa laka alhamdu ba'da rida. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Ya Allah, we ask you to forgive us of our shortcomings, Ya Arham al-Rahimin. Ya Allah, we ask you to fill our hearts with iman and faith, Ya Arham al-Rahimin. Ya Allah, we ask you to give us a love for your Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, give us the ability to study and learn his life, Ya Arham al-Rahimin. Give us the ability to emulate his ways, Ya Arham al-Rahimin. Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, fill our hearts with iman. Give us a love for Qiyam al-Layl. Give us a love for the actions that bring your love, Ya Arham al-Rahimin. Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, have mercy upon our family members, Ya Arham al-Rahimin. Ya Allah, guide our family members, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those of our family members who aren't Muslim, Ya Allah, we beg of you, Ya Allah, we ask of you, guide their hearts, Ya Arham al-Rahimin. Ya Allah, we beg of you, we turn to you, we ask you, Ya Allah, those who are sick in our family, Ya Allah, those who are sick amongst our friends, give them shifa, kamil, ajil, mustamirra, Ya Arham al-Rahimin. Ya Allah, those who have passed away from our community, Ya Allah, we ask you to have mercy upon them, Ya Arham al-Rahimin. Ya Allah, we ask you to forgive them, Ya Allah, and elevate their status, Ya Arham al-Rahimin. Ya Allah, our brothers and sisters in Philistine and Gaza, Ya Allah, we ask you to give them help, Ya Arham al-Rahimin. Shower your mercy down upon them, Ya Arham al-Rahimin. Ya Allah, we ask you for your nusra, Ya Arham al-Rahimin, your divine help and aid, Ya Arham al-Rahimin. Ya Allah, we beg of you, Ya Allah, in these few days of Ramadan that remain, Ya Allah, We ask you to open our hearts to righteousness. We ask you to open our hearts to goodness. Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, in these remaining days to forgive us, Ya Arhamar Rahimin, and give us a connection with you, Ya Allah, that is never broken, Ya Allah. Make this the Ramadan that changes our lives, Ya Allah. Make this the Ramadan that we come close to you and we never look back and we keep moving forward, Ya Allah. Make this the Ramadan that we intend and learn to learn the sunnah of your Habib and act upon it in every way possible, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, Rabbana taqabbal minna. إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين آمين يا رب.